I can't seem to do that. Can I get an amen? And I know what's wrong, and I keep doing that anyway. And that's Paul saying that. So I may be okay. You may be okay. And then the Romans 8 passage, which I think is the triumphal entry moment after 8 chapters of Paul unpacking his whole theological framework, and all of a sudden he gets to this part and he says, nothing. And he lists everything he can think of that would get in the way, and he says, nothing gets between you and God. Beautiful. Beautiful. We are on the last sermon in a sermon series on the great themes of Scripture. And so if you'll take out your paper and a number 2 pencil, it's time for the quiz, right? I keep wanting you to remember some of this. What am I thinking? We started about 6 weeks ago with the book and talking about that we were going to try to read the book the same way Jesus read the Scriptures that he had. And that sometimes Scripture and our relationship with God, humanity's relationship with God, seems like it's a dance that goes 3 steps forward and 2 steps back. And that we, every once in a while, we seem to be getting it right, and then all of a sudden we as humanity does something crazy. I mean, God saved the children of Israel out of Egypt, right? And how long did it take for them to do something dumb? Right, so the dance is, all right, we're free. Why did you bring us out here in the desert? All right, Moses is gone for less than 24 hours, goes up the mountain, and what are we doing? Gather together all the gold. We've got to make a statue. That's our dance. Our dance with God is messy. It turns out that even though God is perfect, we are not perfect dance partners with God. And why God keeps choosing us, I'm not quite sure. Except that God is a God of love, and God loves us. Our first theme that we brought out was the great mirror. And the sermon is online, so if you missed it, I hope that you'll go and look at or listen to it online. We talked specifically about the phrasing in Genesis 1 that talked about all of creation, and specifically humanity, was created in the image and likeness of God. And that image and likeness are 2 things. One is how we look or who we are, so our state of being, and the other is how we act. The fact that small children will mimic you enough to drive you crazy. Image and likeness, the great mirror. The next week was the great oneness, that all creation is one and woven together, and that themes like forgiveness and reconciliation, when we start coming back together, that's that oneness theme. The next theme was called the great paradox. And I hope that you have a chance to listen to that one if you missed it. We ended up having stones in our hands, but the paradox is that we achieve life by going through death, that we go up by falling down. And that perspective of going what seems to be the wrong direction, the opposite direction, allows us to go deeper. And last week we did a sermon on the great unknowing, that knowledge doesn't save us or connect us to God, it's truer to say that stillness and silence connect us to God. They allow us to hear God's voice. Today, we're doing a sermon on the great theme of Scripture, the great dance. Now, I realize there's not a lot of dancing in Scripture, so stay with me on this. I'm not a real big dancer myself. If I don't have the right partner, it's just ugly. We'll talk more about my ability to dance in a little bit. But here's how I want to weave this thread together, this thread of the great dance. God, since the first moments of creation, has been in a love dance with creation. Throughout most of Scripture, we see humanity wandering off to other partners. The most common partner that we seem to choose instead of God is ourself. our own egos. These passages from Paul to the church in Rome illustrates that dance that we sometimes get caught up just worrying about dancing with sin, worrying about ourselves. And many of us fight this same battle, trying to keep our eyes on the true partner God while often being sidetracked by the shiny objects which distract us. How do you feel when your love partner forgets you are on the dance floor and ends up focused on someone else? Ooh. I think that's a good response, and I'm guessing that God has that same sense. And yet we have a tendency to get distracted from our dance partnership with God. Many of us, well, I've said that. All right, so do you or do you not dance? Raise your hand if you dance or have danced. All right, my wife is like standing up on the balcony dancing now. And how many of you do not dance? Hold on, I got to find out who my partners are. All right, there's a few of us. All right. All right. Anybody willing to say why they don't dance? Any of the six or seven of us in the room? Two left feet, I heard. No rhythm. Anybody suffer from no rhythm? Anybody suffer from no rhythm in dance anyway? I think you've got something working for you. Because I have this sense that dancing with God, you shouldn't care at all about the rhythm, the way you look, whatever. You should just be lost in it. Any of you have really good dance partners and the best you can do is just not embarrass them? I got a couple of those. Carl and I went out Friday night. I said, I need to go out dancing. It's sermon research. And she said, yay! Sweetie, did we get to dance at all? I actually had the intent of doing it. How many of you square danced? Oh, some of you are just now remembering that you once square danced. Anybody ballroom dance? I'll be darned. How many of you dance mostly at concerts? Anybody dance every time they go to a concert? It depends on the people playing, but if I'm allowed to, I'd like to include swaying in my chair is dancing. Does that count? I'm a dancer. How many of you make sure you dance at weddings? Any of you dance at weddings because you know for a fact nobody in the room knows you? The best part about dancing for me is, all right, I'll dance while we're on a cruise if nobody knows me. All right, so here's my horror story. I grew up with two brothers. And my dad was an engineer. Guess how much engineers dance? Right. My mom was a preacher's daughter. I'm not sure she danced much either. I don't remember ever seeing them dance. And the brothers didn't dance. So lots of folks learn to dance around the house when they're very young. Our granddaughter dances all the time. I mean, she'll put on shows. I mean, she just gets lost in the dancing. About the time in my life when dancing would have been an allowable thing for me, I hung out with the wrong crowd that sat in the back of the room and watched folks dance and passed judgment on all the folks dancing. We picked out the weakest link and had a long conversation about those folks. So all I could think of when it came my time to dance is, there's a crowd out there sitting down watching me and wondering if I'm the weakest link. Sad, huh? I love music, and I will dance, and I'll sway it, you know, when the crowd is busy at a concert, and nobody can see me. As long as I feel like I can't be seen, I can dance. But it's still a chore for me to get past that sense of feeling like I'm going to be judged for my... Now, I was in marching band. And one of the years that I was in marching band, that we played The Hustle as part of our halftime show. And it was very sweet of our band director to make sure that the flutes and the clarinets danced The Hustle during the halftime show. I was the only guy in the flute or clarinet section. So my hair back in a ponytail, because if you had hair that touched your collar, you had to wear it in a ponytail so that all the band looked alike. I can still remember some of the moves, but mostly I remember dancing at summer camp to some of the folk dancing. Does anybody remember dancing at summer camp? All right, so let me do a quick check. How many of you grew up and were told by the church that dancing was evil? I got a few folks in there. I don't want to wander past that and not make note of that. I'm not trying to make light of that. And to be quite honest, dancing is not my favorite thing. So why this ended up coming to me as the imagery for what I needed to preach on this morning, only God knows. I think as you think about dancing, there are times when dancing becomes a fairly intimate exchange with folks. And so I understand why folks might think that it would be a little bit dangerous. I think that's why some folks like dancing, is because it's a little bit dangerous. Any of you guys dance to those crazy moves of Elvis? Not willing to confess now, are you, all of a sudden? The choir is confessing? Is that right? My aunt, so also the daughter of a preacher, thinks my grandfather, her dad, was the best person on the face of humanity because for her 16th birthday, she got to go to an Elvis concert. Not bad for a preacher. Anybody dance the shag? Two-step? Anybody want to dance the two-step? Ballroom, I've already said. I heard while I was asking, wandering through the crowd this morning, that somebody had a spouse that was really, really good at dancing, and she kept winning contests in spite of him. And all I could think of was, you know, this fits in the sermon really well, because we dance poorly and God danced perfectly. And so the way we dance in love with God is all about our partner. I think the point I want to make today, more than anything else, is it's not about the dancing, it's about the partner. If you go out on the dance floor just to make a scene and get a bunch of attention, you may be dancing with the wrong partner, ego, self, and worried about yourself. But Carla and I talked, she says she gets lost in it. I mean, filled with joy. There's a certain relaxation and revigor. I mean, so when I say dance to her, she lights up. When you say dance to me, I say, how far away do we have to drive? And it's not that I don't trust you all. It's just that that's pretty deep in my psychological makeup. I think that there are times when we Christians often dance with the wrong partner, too. We dance with this world of judgment and worrying about our own sin. And so we end up focused more on our relationship with sin than we do in our dance with God. Quit looking at the sin over your shoulder while you try to dance with God, because you really don't like it when you're dancing with somebody and they're watching someone else. Right? If you can keep your eyes on God's face when you're dancing and just get lost in that, I think that's more in line with who we're supposed to be in Scripture. Dance alone with God. Get lost in it. We thought a lot about different kinds of dances. I told her that one of the most vivid memories I have of dancing is in Fort Pierce at my first church I was serving. The person who was the head of the board, the probably the administrative board, had been diagnosed with a second round of brain cancer. And he knew that it was fairly imminent. And his son was in the youth group that I was in charge of. And he, at one point, said to me, when we had a private moment, he says, "Watch out for my son." I can remember a few months later when he died. After the funeral was done and we had made our peace, I went home and turned up the stereo really loud, Phil Collins' song, "One More Night." I don't know whether that's a song you can dance to or not. But I moved around the room and sang at the top of my lungs and cried like a... Because I knew for this teenage boy that losing his dad at that age was going to be a tough thing. And I really feel like I was, in a sense, dancing with God. Carla doesn't... I said, "Do you dance to slow song? I mean, sad songs? I mean, is that kind of music something that makes you dance?" She said, "No." But I'm not sure that we don't do some of our dance with God in the slow dances, in the sad songs. The focus is, who is our partner? You can't be dancing with one partner and watching out for another potential partner. Sometimes our partner, the other partner we're all on the lookout for, is our career. Sometimes the partner that we're looking over the shoulder of and looking for somebody else to dance with is money or safety or security or status quo. Sometimes we dance and what we're trying to do is show off to the one we really want, and we're almost sticking our tongue out at the person that didn't say yes to us. Clearly not focused on who we're dancing. Stop dancing with the folks that are going the wrong direction and dance with God. The music never stops because there's more grace to come. It's okay. I probably need to say this. "Hi, my name is Peter, and it's okay if you dance poorly," as a matter of confession to... A messy faith seems to be part of the story with almost everyone in the Bible. There are only a few characters in the Bible that don't have a messy part of their life. We don't hear about too much messiness for Mary, and Jesus seemed to have done all right. But everyone else in the story has some bad parts of the story. Consider these passages we've read of Paul. There is this great dance. And Paul, every once in a while, is looking over his shoulder at, "I try to do right, and I keep messing up. And I keep messing up. I keep stepping on my own feet or on her feet." And maybe another good example of the great dance is David, who has a heart for God, but his mind and his body keep wanting to wander off. Let God lead. So as we work through the rest of our days, we try to be a mirror, image and likeness of God. We try to live into the oneness, realizing that we're all connected, to embrace the paradox when Jesus invites us deeper by telling us to love our enemies or to have joy in the midst of suffering. God invites us to go deeper rather than choose a side. Don't get stuck thinking that knowing is the right way, that if you can think through everything and have it logically defined, that you're good to go. You can't know your way to God. We dance with God. So get lost in the dance. When the dance is sad, sway and cry. When the dance fills you up, turn the music up loud and dance. And let the cup of joy runneth over. I know that someone may be thinking, but God is invisible. It's hard to stay connected to an invisible God. This is the best imagery I can give for you from a pastoral perspective is, my parents are gone and I don't forget how to love them. If you've had children, you know that before the baby was born, you were already madly in love. Right? You know how to love an invisible partner. Just don't think you're going to do that with your head. Start dancing. This morning, as we when we celebrate communion, I want you to consider yourself 2 years old, and you can either be dressed up, ready to go to a dance, or you can be in your pajamas. And I want you to dance on with where you get up and you stand on God's feet so that communion is God leading, and all you have to do is stay connected. Close your eyes. That's the dance of communion. God has this. You are golden. All you have to do is stay connected. God is looking at you the way a father adores his 2-year-old daughter and taking her to her first dance, the way a mother loves her son at their first wedding dance. That's our partner. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, keep us connected. We know that there are going to be messy moments that get in the way. Maybe we'll step on each other's feet or something like that that feels a little bit messy. Keep drawing us back to your face and your love. Remind us that it's okay for us to be an imperfect partner because you are the one who is leading. Keep leading us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.